Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliott Smith song. In this podcast, we try, in our own very small way, to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, hope you are safe and well wherever you're listening to this. Our guest today is the musician Josh Burgess. Josh plays in a band from New Zealand called Yumi Zuma. The group have put out 3 studio albums so far, with their most recent record called Truth or Consequences coming out in March this year. The band's sound is definitely a lot poppier, I'd say, than Elliott Smith's. So I was first of all interested to hear that Josh was a fan of Elliott's, and I also wanted to find out how he weaves Elliott's influences in. And in this interview, we discuss that, as well as, of course, his favourite song pick too. And for the last few years, Josh has lived in New York City, which is where he was when I called him up for this chat, which we recorded at the end of March this year. Oh, and I should also say that we have a small announcement to make about something we've been working on after the interview, so please do stick around for that. Before we do that, though, here's Josh.
Hello, my name is Josh Burgess. I am one of the members of Yumi Zuma, a band from New Zealand. Elliott Smith has such a huge catalogue, it's really hard to sit down and critically think about, like, what is your favourite, and as I thought about it, there are ones I like for different reasons and for different times. And I think that's what's so beautiful about Elliott Smith's music is it can cover a really wide spectrum of emotions or needs that you want out of connecting with music. And one of those songs for me is Baby Britain from XO. Baby Britain feels the best, floating over a sea of vodka, separated from the rest. You know, XO is a record, like, my understanding is it was the first one where he was on, like, a really big record label and kind of had endless resources. And part of what I really love about Elliott Smith is an artist, is his exploration into different sounds and just different ways to really be evocative, I think. And I think Baby Britain shows this, like, different side. It's definitely like one of the more poppy Elliott Smith songs that, you know, I'm sure that there are people that it's maybe one of their least favorite Elliott Smith songs because it does sound a lot different to his other work. But there's something kind of like really that duality of like hopefulness and helplessness in a lot of his music. I feel like Baby Britain kind of captures that because it bounces in the, you know, the instrumentation of the pianos and the drops. It's like it's a very pop kind of song, but there is this, you know, inevitably deep profoundness about it, like all of his work. And I think that one, the duality of those two, very, you know, the poppy element and that kind of like heaviness, really like draws me in and intrigues me in a very deep way, I think.
Elliott Smith is, as I'm sure many people know, is a huge Beatles fan. But this one feels maybe more Beatlesy than any other.
Yeah, totally. There's those sort of real George Harrison-y stab guitars, you know. I think the bass drums and piano he was such an amazing pianist, and that's so rhythmic and just really, it just punches, you know. Like it's also a really great punchy mix as well. Yeah, it's kind of got this, as I said, this duality to it that always intrigues me about, you know, the lyrics as well are really sort of about heavy alcohol use. And yeah, there's this duality that's like against the pop background, you know. It ain't no like Octopus's Garden in the Shade, you know. There's no like sort of Ringo Starr, Paul McCartney lyrics in this one in terms of like Beatles reach. It's very like, it still has that heaviness lyrically, doesn't it? We knocked another couple by, the dead soldiers lined up on the table, still prepared for an attack. They didn't know they'd been disabled, felt a wave
I mean, one line that always kind of sticks out to me, the line that I always think of when I think of this song, is that for someone half as smart, you'd be a work of art, which is quite a takedown.
It's cutting, yeah. You know, I remember connecting with that line as well, being like 15 and sort of, I don't know, I had this weird interpretation of it living in a small town, living in New Zealand, that like things that were held up in really high regards and small towns, you know, might not be totally indicative of, you know, taste or the wider world. I think that's like a thing that you go through when you're sort of younger and growing up very isolated. And I remember that line sort of like me being intrigued as to what it meant. I think that's the other thing. I was always like really curious about what lyrics meant as a kid. And around this time listening to Elliott Smith and stuff, I started to get like metaphorical and sort of like, you know, poetic meanings in lyrics, if that makes sense. In a way, when I was younger, I remember, you know, like Eiffel 65's Blue, I remember being like, what the hell is going on this song? Why is everyone blue? They've either been painted or they just need to like go see a doctor, you know, because everything is blue.
Yeah. Did you ever get to the bottom of that one?
You know, many years later, I did discover that blue is just melancholic. And then I felt very sorry for the blue man, even though, you know, his whole life is blue. There's no ray of sunshine. But, you know, to weave it back, like when I watched the Elliott Smith documentary, there were a lot of people that sort of said, you know, he wasn't just this totally miserable, sad character. He was really funny and charming and thoughtful. And, you know, sometimes with songs like Baby Britain, as I said, that kind of almost glimpses me into that. And I think that's the video as well was something that I kind of like made me hopeful that you know, his existence wasn't totally melancholic the whole time. And I kind of hold that hope out because I love so much what he gave to the world, and it's still sort of heartbreaking to think that somebody who was so talented, had such a tough time. For someone half as smart, you'd be a work of art. You put yourself apart, I can't help you until you start. Gotta look in your eye when you're saying goodbye, like you wanna say hi. You were mentioning before we started the interview that you were in the UK recently, and I think, well, at one point I watched an interview with you where you said you're mum and your sister both live in the UK. And do you feel a connection via the sort of the Britain references that he has in there? Yeah, well, you know, my dad's actually Scottish, and he always refers to Britain, you know, like Britain and Scotland. And I think that, yeah, there's definitely something drew me towards that, especially when you've just downloaded like 1,000 Elliott Smith songs and you're just like jumping through them. Baby Britain definitely was, you know, popped up. But speaking of Baby Britain and like UK connections, one of my favorite sort of deep cuts of Elliott Smith is his covers of the Kinks' Waterloo Sunset, which is beautiful and I think really shows how wonderful of a guitarist he was. And it's such a lovely, haunting sort of song, and his voice suits it really well. So check that out on YouTube. Go for a deep dive.
So Baby Britain and Waltz 2 were the only singles released from XO. If there were any others from the album released, what would you have one that you'd want to get out there?
I always really loved Bled White. I thought that was like a real sort of driving song. Everybody Cares, Everybody Understands. I mean, that's not a single. Like, you know, I mean, if I was thinking about songs, it should be singles. I probably Bled White, but you know, it's weird that you were saying there's only two singles. They also came out like a year apart. As I was sort of doing a bit of background reading of this, that I was like, man, that's a crazy different world where you release like two singles like a year apart. But yeah, I think Bled White. The press for XO is quite interesting. A lot of the reviews and stuff like that sort of do really mention this upgrade and budget and record label. And I think it was kind of a pivotal moment for him sort of starting to see how deep the entertainment industry goes, I know. And from, I think from that documentary sort of references that that was a part of making music he really didn't like was, you know, how working with companies like DreamWorks and stuff. So it's testament to him that he could make such a great record, even when he was sort of having those doubts about the, you know, where he fits in into the whole ecosystem. Light was on, but it was dead. Revolver's been turned over, and now it's ready once again. The radio was playing Crimson and Clover.
Talking about your own music now and your own work, to me, I would say that Yumi Zuma don't, as a band, doesn't necessarily sound much like Elliott Smith, but are there any Elliott Smith influences that you try and weave in?
Yeah, I think acoustic guitars as sort of like a driving rhythmic sort of element sometimes. I've definitely referenced that in my head. Like, I like the lower tunings of guitars. There's a song called Powder Blue, which kind of uses a bit of that sort of like same tuning and voicing, I think, more than anything. Yeah, I would almost say, you know, Baby Britain's one that I definitely have taken a lot of influence from. Like, bass, drums, and piano is a real sort of core element. There's a song on the new record called Lonely After, which has that in parts. But yeah, I think Yumi Zuma is definitely something we pull from so many different little corners to create the sonic bed that we have. It would be impossible for anything not to be an influence, I really think. But it definitely doesn't have a direct correlation, for sure. But I think if you listen close enough, there might be something that you can identify in there. No matter what you keep repeating, nothing's gonna drag me down to a death that's not worth cheating for someone half as small. And as you said, you grew up in Palmerston North in New Zealand, which I've actually been to, in fact. Hang on, we are pausing right there. Palmerston North in New Zealand has brought like 70,000 people for everyone listening. This isn't like, you know, you go to New Zealand and you see Middle Earth and Palmerston North. What were you doing in Palmerston North?
Yeah, I don't really know. I was 18 and I was with a few friends from the UK. And we, for some reason, we decided to go to New Zealand for 6 weeks. And I think we thought that New Zealand was a lot bigger than it actually is. So 6 weeks, you can do pretty much everything in New Zealand in 6 weeks. Like, if you're coming to the UK, like, the UK isn't very big either. So I think we basically visited every town in New Zealand, and we spent one night in a hostel in Palmerston North.
Had you come to Palmerston North in the 2000s, you would have found me with some headphones on, listening to a lot of torrented Elliott Smith. But I do want to point out that in later years, I have bought records on vinyl and CD, just in case the FBI is listening. I've paid back into the coffers of Elliott Smith.
And were there many other fans of Elliott Smith in Palmerston North when you were growing up?
You know, New Zealand is way more influenced by UK music. So, like, a lot more of, like, the Libertines and, like, the Arctic Monkeys and the Strokes and stuff. I think as well, for me, it's like, it is a little bit weird to be a fan of something that was 10 years prior. That sort of almost always indicates that a generation doesn't really listen like 10 years prior in those formative years. That's my own unsubstantiated theory. But yeah, no, I couldn't get the homies too much into Elliott Smith. I do recall putting some on and someone saying it was a bit sad and we had to change.
Do you think Elliott Smith is kind of helpful to someone growing up in a small town? Does it give you a bit of a release? Like, when you're hearing those kind of angry lines, like, for someone half as smart, you'd be a work of art.
Do you know what I think overall is, like, New Zealand definitely has, like, a very masculine society. Like, the pinnacle of, especially when I was growing up 15 years ago, the pinnacle of being a great man was being an All Black and being tough and, you know, not being emotionally vulnerable. So I think definitely hearing someone that was like that raw and that, like, able to, yeah, be vulnerable on a record like that was something for me that I remember thinking was quite brave and quite cool, and connected me to Elliott Smith as an artist. And I do remember sort of feeling grateful to have something like that when there wasn't a huge representation of that around New Zealand, for sure. And even like, you know, like a lot of music, like even some of those bands I was talking about, like the Arctic Monkeys and the Strokes and stuff, they're not particularly like emotionally deep in their earlier works because they're like 18, 19 and like, you know. But yeah, definitely was something special. I always felt that I had stumbled across something special. Sometimes you have that feeling that like it's almost too good to be true when you listen to those records. You're like, how is this? So special. And even to this day, I still listen to a lot of Elliott Smith.
So thanks then to Josh Burgess from Umizoomer for being a great guest on this show, and also our first ever guest from New Zealand. If you haven't listened to his band before, then I do recommend checking out their latest album. Now, earlier I said we have a special announcement to make, and so without further ado, I would like to make that announcement now. We've been working with the musician Tom McClung and La Blogothèque on a special live charity Elliott Smith tribute, which is going to take place on Monday the 29th of June at 6 p.m. UK time. Now, if you're not familiar with La Blogothèque, they usually film intimate sessions with musicians that they call takeaway shows. But during coronavirus, for obvious reasons, they haven't been able to produce those. So instead, they're streaming live gigs on their Instagram channel, shows that they're calling stairway shows instead. So on Monday, their stairway show will be an Elliott Smith tribute, and it has loads of friends of the podcast and former guests playing. Tom McClung, who plays under the name Francis Lung, had the idea in the first place, and here he is to tell us some more about it.
Hey, I'm Tom McClung. I play music as Francis Lung. Next Monday, we are hosting a fundraiser on La Blogothèque's Instagram called Everybody Cares. And it's a tribute concert with artists playing Elliott Smith songs. And it's for raising awareness for LGBTQ and trans rights. The project was conceived last week, and I was binge listening to this podcast because I love it, and at the same time I was also reeling at the news that both Boris Johnson and Donald Trump were simultaneously trying to limit LGBTQ and trans rights during the pandemic, and I wondered if it would be possible to try and sort of combine these two things that were going on in my head to try and recruit fans of Elliott, who were probably very like-minded, to play a tribute concert to raise money and awareness for the cause. But of course, concerts are impossible right now. So I thought of my friend Maxime at the Blogothèque, and they were actually kind enough to put forward their Instagram as a platform for us to live stream the concert, which made it possible for artists from all over the UK and the US to participate. And it also happens to be the 20th anniversary of Figure Eight this year, so I thought it was kind of serendipitous.
Which charities have you chosen to raise money for?
We are raising money for AKT, which is a charity dedicated to rehousing abused trans youths and LGBTQ plus youths in the UK. We have GIRES, which is the Gender Identity Research and Education Society, also based in the UK. And the Audre Lorde Project in the US, based in Brooklyn.
And who's playing?
All right, so lineup is amazing, and it's still changing as we speak because, as I say, this project was only started last Friday. So I'm going to be hosting the show as Francis Lung, and I'm also going to play a song. We've got Blynavon, Marika Hackman, Marissa Nadler, also a guest on the show, Kevin Devine, Ben Langford Biss, Lion Limb, Max Bloom, Penelope Isles, and Palehound as well, another guest from the show. And there's still more to be confirmed. It's going to be going to be a 2-hour bumper special, so I'm really excited.
And Tom, we couldn't get you on this podcast as a big Elliott Smith fan as you are without asking you the question that we always ask, and that is, what is your favourite Elliott Smith song?
My favourite Elliott Smith song is No Life, and I heard it a long time ago when I did what I like to call the Elliott Troll, which I guess most Elliott Smith fans do when they get past all the recorded material they want more, and they just search the backlogs of the internet for whatever they can find. And I found No Life, which is just the most seductive descending chord progression maybe I've ever heard. It's a little bit Beatlesque, and it's got this like searing, almost bluesy electric guitar sound, the lead guitar, that is just like, it just gets me every time. And of course the lyrics are like haiku or something. It's very simple. It's just like, no life, no life, everything you need to keep it together, to keep you off the street. It doesn't particularly rhyme either, and I just think it's an oddity in the canon, and I just love it.
So please do join us on Monday then on La Blogothèque's Instagram channel. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate any donations you can make to the charities we're raising money for. You can find a link to the donation page in the episode notes of the show. And if you're unsure of how it works or how to access the live stream, we'll be sharing lots of info about it on our social media channels. So check those out, and of course, feel free to get in touch if you have any questions. That's pretty much it then for today. Thank you again to our guests, Josh Burgess and Tom McClung. Thanks to Elizabeth Wood-Stanley for producing this show with me. And more than anything, thank you for listening to it. Once again, please join us on Monday with La Blogothèque if you can, and see you back here in a couple of weeks.